to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. Come together to worship Him. Amen. To glorify Him. First thing on the blueprint on how to pray in Matthew chapter 6 was, Hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to uplift, praise, glorify, magnify. We begin to praise His name, things begin to happen. Praise God. Now I'm glad I know His name tonight, aren't you? Good to be in the house of the Lord. Gathered together again in the great name of Jesus Christ. Looking for the Lord to do great things in this service tonight. And I know that He will. He'll still confirm this word. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4 said, both with signs, wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Hallelujah. So it's good to be here. I'm going to begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be turning to that. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 8 and a half. Glory to God. Be here with Sister Meyer, Brother Tim, all of you. We love you. Appreciate you. And we want to get into the Word of God tonight. Let the Lord confirm this Word in the latter part of this service. As I said, He always does. Amen. Always will. But the Bible said, 2 Timothy 1, 8 and a half, Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Romans 1:16, he said, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now I want to talk about the transforming power of the gospel tonight. The transforming power of the gospel. What we have is real. It's alive. It's powerful. What makes the Word of God, the 66 books, different than any other books ever been written? It's a book of blood from Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. And that's what brings it alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said the Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick means alive. It's alive and powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is what? A discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So let's get into the scripture and talk about the transforming power of this gospel tonight. Of course, we know in the beginning of our walk with God, we had to repent of our sins and then be buried in the great name of Jesus Christ in a watery grave and receive the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And that put us into the kingdom of God, and that was a transforming power of our gospel. Of our Lord's gospel. Paul called it His gospel. We can call it our gospel. It's the true gospel. Amen. Acts 2:38, the true gospel. But I want to try to show you to begin with tonight why the Bible said that in Acts 2:38. There is a reason. Amen. It just didn't say it just to say it. There's a reason why God said everything in this Bible. Someone told me one time, said, well, God didn't have to have a reason to say it. He'd just say it. Well, that's probably true. But one thing about it, He always had a reason for what He said. He never put anything in here confusing or to confuse anybody, but it is the gospel, the gospel of salvation. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells me that God planned it that way. Hallelujah. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are, not used to be, going to be, are saved, it is the power of God. So there's power in this gospel. And of course, we know the first step to the plan of salvation is repentance. And that means you turn your life around. You repent, ask forgiveness of everything you've done wrong, every sin and everything. You know, Brother Paul had a powerful ministry and he knew who he was. That's why he was so victorious. And when you and I realize who we are from the Word of God, then we can be victorious. Fact is, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, For my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and what? And of power. He knew the power of the gospel. He knew the power of the Holy Ghost. He knew what he was preaching under, and that was the power of Almighty God. So we know that the Word of God tells us to be baptized in the great name of Jesus Christ. And that's not sprinkled or sprayed or washed or wiped or pushed out of a boat or walk under automatic car wash and call it baptism. It's immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 said, except a man be born of water. You know, a lot of people misquote that. Most all of them, they say the water. It doesn't say the water. The denotes a certain thing, place or whatever. If it said the water, we'd all have to go to Jordan River to be baptized. But it don't say the water. Water, that's muddy water, clear water, running water, still water, salt water, clear water. Water. Praise God. Amen. If you don't believe that, don't live over there where in the Philippines where we've done work for the last 20-some years, because all they have is salt water. If you got to be baptized in clear water, most of them's in trouble. Praise God. No, God just said water. Amen. Born again of water and of, there is a donation here, a singular here, the Spirit. Amen. He didn't say any old spirit. He said the Spirit. Amen. Born again of water and the Spirit. And then we receive what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the book of Psalms 138 verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Thank God for the truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's pretty good scripture, huh? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 said, every word of God is pure. Not some of it, a little of it, or what we want or don't want. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 said, all scripture, is that 100% or what? Is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Fact is, man has retranslated and retranslated and retranslated the first translation, King James translation of the Bible, until they didn't translate it out. That's right. Praise God. And they have compromised everything from one end to the other, taken out the Word of God, added to it, and everything else. But I'm thankful for the King James Version of the Scripture. Amen. The most authentic version we have in the English language. You know, the old Douay version, which was translated from the Latin, was comparable years ago with the King James. But through the years, they have done with it what they have the King James. They retranslated and retranslated until they retranslated all the truth out. We went to a Catholic bookstore up in Appleton, Wisconsin, Brother Hubert and I, a few years ago. And I wanted to see if they had an old Catholic Douay version. And I asked the lady there at the desk. She said, oh, sure. And she went over and got it. The first place I turned was Acts 2:38. And it said, do penance and be baptized. I said, forget it. And I turned to the front of it. It said, retranslated by Bishop so-and-so back in whenever it was. That wasn't the old original Douay version. Believe me, it didn't say do penance and be baptized. It said repent, just like the King James says. Amen. God does not want anybody doing penance, torturing themselves to get a closer walk with him or a greater reward in heaven. Praise God. He sacrificed for you and I that we wouldn't have to sacrifice in that way. I know we sacrifice a lot living for God, and we ought to. If I could sacrifice in the world, stay up all night drinking and acting like an idiot and go to work 12 hours the next day without a wink of sleep, I think I could lose a little sleep for the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, this gospel we have and this gospel that we preach is a transforming gospel. It will transform you from the power of darkness into his marvelous light. In the book of Exodus, I'm going to hurry through this again tonight. Exodus chapter 14 is going to highlight a little here. Of course, Israel had come to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army behind him. But here in the 10th verse is what was said. And the Bible said they were sore afraid. You know what sore means? Horrified. At the panic stage. Painful, severe, grievously afraid. I mean, they were losing it. Praise God. But Moses said, in verse 13, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today." And that's exactly what God tells us in our tight spots, our tight places. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. And verse 14 said, Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you." I'm glad I have the Lord fighting my battles. I like what one preacher said years ago. It was a faith preacher. And he said, well, my Father Jesus Christ is like this. When I lay hands on someone that is sick or demon possessed or whatever, I say, "Devil, get your filthy hands off of them." And my Father Jesus Christ, you hear what he said? "Devil, get going." Praise God. He's fighting our battle. Hallelujah. We don't have to fight it in ourselves. We couldn't win anyway. I'm talking about overall the spiritual battle, everything that we face, the spiritual battles. But God just says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When it gets out of our hands, put it in his hands. Right? 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting how much? All your care upon him. You know what care is? Your frustrations, your worries, your anxieties. Cast it all upon him, for he careth for you. Hallelujah. But he said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because the Lord's going to fight for you. And ye shall hold your peace. I'm glad I have someone to fight for me, aren't you? I believe we all believe here tonight that the remission of sins is in the blood. Right? Now, let me give you a few scriptures here very quick. So I'm going to tie this in because I asked you the question a while ago, why Acts 2:38? You know, the Lord could have said anything, couldn't he? He said, if you want to be saved, twitch your nose. Well, they've made it easy in this world, they think. Like Billy Graham's crusades through the years, outside of the big outside movie theaters, packed by the hundreds of thousands. He gets through with his message, says, well, if you want to accept the Lord, blow your horns. Yeah. Amen. I saw a bumper sticker. You know, they always had them through the years, honk if you love Jesus. Amen. I honked at one time and he got mad at me. Should have took the sticker off. I seen one that said if you love Jesus, tithe, anybody can honk. That was more the truth, praise God. Hallelujah. But I believe, I repeat, that most of us or all of us here tonight believe that the remission that we had through the blood of Jesus Christ was real powerful and almighty. Hallelujah. Let me give you a few scriptures to prove what I'm saying. You know, what we read back in Exodus and the Lord just said, stand still. That was the Old Testament church, see the salvation of the Lord. We're the New Testament church. We're not the natural Jew, we're the spiritual Jew. We're not natural Israel, we're spiritual Israel by all the scriptures of the Bible. And I am glad to know that I am a Jew. I told someone the other day, I said, you know, we're facing the time after, especially after Thanksgiving. Now, you know, it's Happy Thanksgiving, every business you go into and all that, and Happy Thanksgiving. And after that, it'll be, well, they've changed that in America. Did you ever notice these businesses now? They don't say Merry Christmas. They say Happy Holidays. They don't want to offend these false devils in here, the Muslims and everything else. Isn't that pitiful? I thought this, well, it was in the beginning a more Christian type nation, wasn't it? So when they say Merry Christmas, I'm going to say Happy Hanukkah. Oh, are you a Jew? Yes. Romans 2:28, he's no longer a Jew, that's outward circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew that's one inward, but the circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We are Jews tonight, spiritual Jews. We are spiritual Israel. Praise God. And I know what God promised us, Old and New Testament. Amen. So let us go through a few scriptures here. Fact is, Hebrews 11:40 said, summed up the chapter saying, after the heroes of faith, I call them, went through all the miracles and this and that, and he wrapped it up and said, but God, and God, having provided some better thing for us, the New Testament church, that they, those old patriarchs of faith, without us, should not be made perfect. Whatever you read in the Old Testament that God promised, that's true. But we have greater promises than that. Isn't that amazing? Okay, let's look at the scripture just a moment. And we got to settle a fact here that the blood remits the sin. All right? Matthew 26:28, for this, Jesus said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many For what? The remission of sins. Luke 1, 76, 77. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Get what it said. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Romans 3, 25. A church already born again, baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost, said this, whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Writing to a church already born again. Now listen to Hebrews 10, 16 through 18. This is the covenant that I will make with them, quoting the Old Testament. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now listen to this. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When you and I were born again and our sins remitted, it's as though we had never committed any kind of sin in our life. Because God blots it out. Now that's another story, another message. But God blots it out, and here we picked it up. We remember your sins, your iniquities, no more. In other words, they're not in God's memory bank. When we testify, and some of us do, preaching and whatever, and we talk about some of the messes we were in the world, how rotten we were, no good, and this and that. And some of the things we did, God doesn't know what we're talking about. He erased him out when we repented, got baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? No wonder the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. And he said, and their sins and iniquities, I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, get this. There is no more offering for sin. In other words, the plan of salvation, the blood remits your sin. And outside of that, what he's saying, how are you ever going to get them remitted? You're not. Look how many churches you join. Look how many times you accept the Lord. In fact, you don't accept him, he accepts you. Oh, you never accept him. Praise God. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father, the Spirit, which has sent me, draw him. Hallelujah. And if nobody draws him, Sister Mara, they can't be saved because they can't repent. And if you can't repent, or they won't repent, and if you won't repent, you can't be saved. That's the first step to God's plan of salvation. Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So that's God's first step to the plan of salvation, isn't it? It's true repentance. Okay, get this. When the Lord began to give, well, let me say a little more about the blood before I get into that. In Leviticus 17:11, he said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given you upon the altar, God said, to make an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for you, that makes an atonement for your soul. Now, atonement is primarily an Old Testament word. Remission is a New Testament word. Okay? But it was blood. Now, we come down through the scripture, Acts 20, 28. The Bible said, take heed to yourselves and over all the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Get what he said? To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Amen. How did he purchase this church? With his own blood. Does that prove Jesus Christ, Almighty God, or what? God called the blood of Jesus Christ his own blood. Because there are not two manifestations, but not two persons. The one that sang a song, he's God in the Father, God in the Son, God in the Holy Ghost. That song is wrong. That's a Trinity song. Part of it's right. He is God the Father. But they say he's God in the Father. That's not right. Now, God in the Son's right. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, God, deity, was in Christ, physical body, reconciling the world to who? Not themselves, himself. Amen. So when they sang that song, it's only part right. He's not God in the Father. He is God the Father, manifest in the Son, if we sang it right. He came into us as the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Well, enough of that, huh? Praise God. Glory. I'm glad I know who he is. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Think about it. Who loved us? John 3:16. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now analyze that the Trinity way. God the Father sitting up there with God the Son, they say. God the Father says, Son, I love the world, but I'm not going to go down there and suffer and bleed. You are, buddy. Not me. You're going to go down there and suffer and be beaten, slaughtered, ripped apart. Cut of the nine tails, a whole bit. The flagellum, really. Roman flagellum. You're going to take it. I'm not. No, that's not right. God himself robed himself in a veil of humanity, in a human body. So you and I'll never stand and ever say to God, God, look, you're deity, you're almighty, you're the spirit. You don't know what it is to get hungry. He fasted 40 days before he began his earthly ministry. God, you're deity. You don't have to pray. You don't, I didn't have time to pray, man. You couldn't rightly, you know, feel how we feel and how we do and all that. He prayed till sweat fell from his face as great drops of blood on the ground. Yeah, he knows what it is to pray. He knows what it is to get hungry. Lord, I just couldn't get to church, man. I was too tired. I was wore out and get whatever. Think he ever got tired? You know he did. In other words, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Because almighty deity became humanity. And for 33 and a half years of this world, he knew what it was to live and think as a human. That's why a lot of people don't understand the Godhead. They do not realize in him, deity and humanity was not confused, it was fused. And sometimes he spoke as deity, thy sins be forgiven thee. Other times he spoke as a human. Amen. It depends on how you, which way you're looking at it by the scripture. As almighty God, he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. He came out of there because he was life. God is life. He's not darkness. He's not evil. He's not death. He is life. That's why when they went to the tomb and Jesus already risen, they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's risen. Praise God. I'm glad we have life tonight. We're not a dead church. It's a lively church. Praise God. Of the Holy Ghost power. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the scripture goes on to say, and I'm bringing this in for a reason. Hebrews, now talking about, you know, like Revelation 1:5, loved us, washed from our sins in his own blood, all that. Talking about the blood of God, the blood, Acts 20:28, call it God's blood. We know God's deity, his spirit, didn't have no blood. So how could it become God's blood? He robed himself in a human body. But listen to this, Hebrews 9:22, we're talking about remission by the blood, right? In the blood, remission. The blood is what remits the sin. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no, now we come to that word, remission. That's why Acts 2:38 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute, didn't say the blood there. The name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Why did it say the name? John 20:31, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, get it, you might have life through his, didn't say blood, name. You know what that proves? The blood is in the name. When you speak the name, the blood's applied. I know we say we plead the blood, we plead the blood. There's nothing wrong with that. I've said it. But really, we don't have to say it. All we have to say in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood's applied. It's there. And that's why we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we're not, our sins are never remitted. People say it don't matter. Well, what matters is whether you go to heaven or go to hell. That's what matters.
That's right, amen.
That's the difference. I'm serious. God has a perfect plan. I'm talking about the transforming power of this gospel. Hallelujah. And through the scriptures, you and I see where God, the apostles, you ever notice something? I'll get off this part of it. But everywhere in the book of Acts, they performed miracles. You know how they did it? In the name of Jesus Christ. Pay attention to it. Amen. I may read some of them for them through tonight. But I'm talking about the transforming power. We can talk about the power of the gospel. It's great. But I want to add a little to that and talk about the transforming power of the gospel. Proverbs 10:24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Folks, people do not realize that you can fear the bad on you the same as you can faith the good on you. Fear is faith in reverse. But fear has the same producing actions as faith does. In other words, you can fear something so long it'll actually materialize in your life. Just like Hebrews 11:1 with faith. Faith is seven things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As one man said, by faith you reach out and get a hold of something, believe it, hold to it, until it becomes something. Praise God. But fear is that way in the reverse. Job 3:25, he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Why? Because fear works just like faith, but it's in the opposite direction. People don't realize that. That's why 2 Timothy 1:7 said, God has not given us, the church, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Sister Vicki, fear will try to get every one of us if we'll let it. Don't think anybody's prone. We're all human. And that devil's after everybody he can get after and destroy if he could do it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to kill your victory, steal your faith, and destroy your walk with God. Only reason Jesus said he comes around, kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, praise God, and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I know one thing, there is power in this gospel. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Hallelujah. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. That's why Psalms 37:4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. That's God's promises to us through the gospel, folks. The gospel. Do you believe there's power in this gospel? There is transforming power in this gospel. Amen. And I'm going to show you just a little bit about the transforming power of the gospel in just a few moments. Let's go to the book of Acts 10. I'm going to read a few scriptures because all denominations, they don't believe you got, you know, they don't believe you have to speak in tongues, period, much less to get the Holy Ghost. But really, the Holy Ghost is the manifestation of God's power of his gospel. And let me read a few scriptures to you. Acts 10:45-48. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now here's the time that God began to turn to the Gentiles and fill them with the Holy Ghost. As many as came with Peter, these are the ex-Jews, they've been born again, but they were astonished. In other words, it shocked them. They could not hardly believe it. What? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They thought they had a patent on this thing. And there are certain groups and organizations think they got a patent on it, buddy. Forget it. This is for whosoever will. All God's asking for is a sincere heart and a heart of repentance. Now let me ask you a question. These ex-Jews, now are spiritual Jews, ex-natural Jews, spiritual Jews, and the Bible called them they of the circumcision, which believed they were already born again. They were astonished that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I asked the question, if somebody believes you can speak, you can get the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues, here's first place I take it. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 9 said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Amen. And I say, okay, you don't seek tongues. You seek God. You seek for the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, the tongues are automatically there. You know, if people seek in tongues, they're in the wrong direction. We got to seek God after fully repenting, baptized. Nothing in our lives that we know of, and God will fill us. Why the tongue? And I'm just going to briefly get this, but why did God choose the tongue? He could have chose a lot of things, couldn't he? As a witness that she received the Holy Ghost. As a sign. You know, people say the tongues are the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But the scripture doesn't use the word evidence. It says sign. Why? Because the devil can speak in tongues. And if tongues was the only was just evidence of it, then people getting speaking in tongues of the devil, you can say they got the Holy Ghost. Not so. It is a sign. Amen. But what made them think the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost? What even caused the thought to come to the minds they'd received the Holy Ghost? Verse 46 gives you the answer. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which will receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? The transforming power of the gospel. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord?
Jesus
Christ. Amen. The name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. That's why it's Acts 2:38. And so here they said the name of the Lord. They then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So the Holy Ghost fell on all them that believed. Didn't say it fell on everybody there. It fell on them that believed, them that heard the word. And by hearing the word, they believed. Hallelujah. We've seen the same thing happen through the years. And I tell them, like I mentioned before here the other night, I tell them what people don't have the Holy Ghost or need healing, whatever. I tell them you don't have to wait to the end of a service. You can have the Holy Ghost right where you're at while the word of God's going forth. If you need healing, you can be healed right where you're at while the word of God's going forth. That's the power of the gospel. Amen. You don't have to wait for an altar call. You can have, that's, I mentioned the other night, that's how I received the Holy Ghost sitting while Brother Eddie Ray was preaching the word of God. It fell on me right where I sat. My son, the same thing in Nashville, Tennessee. We have seen others receive it by just obeying, you know, the scripture and believing what is being preached. And the Holy Ghost fell on them right where they sat. We've seen that happen different times through the years. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is real, is powerful, and it comes through the power of the preaching of the gospel. Amen. The power of the gospel. Let's look at the transforming power of the gospel just a moment. Transforming power. You know, I quoted a scripture a while ago, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross and the perish foolish, but us which are saved, it is the power of God. The word saved and the word salvation are you know, practically synonymous. Salvation is saved. Bottom line, they mean deliverance for the soul, mind, and body. Now, there's more words to the definition than that. But bottom line, that's what it means. When we're born again, deliverance for the soul, that's number one. That's the most important. But it went on. Soul, mind, and body. Read the definition from the Greek. You'll find out from Greek concordance or whatever what it literally means. The transforming power of the gospel I'm talking about. And it is God's will when you and I repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. It's His will to heal us then, soul, mind, and body. My mother received the Holy Ghost about the age of 70. And baptized in His name. And all her life, being raised up on a farm in South Central Indiana, as I mentioned the other night. But all of her life, she had something wrong in her body. That her daily regulation would not function properly. And she had to take something for it. It was not a drug, it was something Dad had, but she had to take it for her daily regularity. But the night that God filled her with the Holy Ghost, He completely healed that. She died the age of 94, never had another problem. Hallelujah. That's a transforming power of the gospel. Some of you read the book of Oma, Sister Oma Ellis. The first book was Oma. She's had, I think, three or four books. I believe four altogether. She had one Oma and Angel. She had one of Miracles and maybe another one. But the book Oma was the beginning of her testimony of her life in Jesus Christ. 20-some years old, she was married, had, I believe, three children. She had, I know, two or three children. And she come down with tuberculosis. Only 23, whatever it was, years old, early 20s. Dr. Toler, and back in those days, there was, you know, such a fear of God in America that when you said, Oma, as he told her, go set your house in order. He didn't say no more. She knew what he meant. She wasn't a Christian. She never went to church, I don't guess. But she knew from the elders and people she heard, you know, talking about get your house in order means you're fixing to die. And she looked at him, she said, Doctor, are you telling me I'm going to die? I can't die. I got a family. I got children. I'm only 20-some years old. Oma, I'm sorry. Maybe somewhere in the future, we'll have some kind of a whatever that can eradicate TB, tuberculosis. But right now, nothing we can do. Tuberculosis is a cancer. It eats up your lungs, your vocal cords, your voice box, and the ultimate before you die. It's tough. Tuberculosis. Well, she figures since she's going to die, she's going to go visit her relatives in Sherman, Texas. And guess what? They were one God. Church of Jesus Christ. Apostolic people. They were in a great revival. Tent revival. And she went that first night. She was there. God got a hold of her heart. She hit that altar. Now by this time, folks, the tuberculosis had done its job. She was just a little ways from death. Fact is, she couldn't even talk. It had eaten everything up. All she could do was whisper. But she hit that altar, bawling, squalling, and repenting. And when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, you could hear her yelling and praising God for blocks around that tent. God completely healed everything. Lungs, vocal cords, voice box, completely, instantly healed everything. That's the transforming power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Brother Buddy Swindle now preaches, or pastors a church in Athens, Alabama. I preached there under a former pastor years ago, probably that was in the 70s, Brother Pat Abernathy. But Brother Swindle's been there for years, the same church building and all, congregation. And years ago, they was in a revival. There was a lady came that was very, very well-dressed and very sophisticated, very educated. I don't know what she was or what kind of position she held or whatever, but very, very educated, very, you know, sophisticated and all of that. But when she came in, she walked like this with her head back. And they thought she was stuck up. People call it snooty. They did. She thought she's better than everybody else. But that wasn't it. She had a cancer eating into her head. And if she didn't hold her head back, she had rag all around her head. And if she didn't hold it back, that blood would come down her forehead, drip off her nose, so that cancer was eating in her head. Well, she didn't do anything that first night, but she came back. I don't know how many times she came back to a service. It wasn't long, two, three, whatever. But one night, God got a hold of her. She hit that altar, bawling, squalling, and repenting. They took her down to the river after that service. And folks, when they put her down in the name of Jesus Christ in that water and brought her out, God completely healed that cancer. Everything, like she'd never had a problem in her life, instantly healed it. That's God's plan. Amen. Deliverance for the soul, the mind, and the body. That is His perfect plan. We may not let Him do it sometimes, but that's His plan by the Word of God. Deliverance for the soul, mind, and body. Saved, salvation, that's exactly what they mean. Amen. So, doesn't matter what the problem is, the thing of it is, God just wants to bring us the full transforming power of His gospel in our lives when we get ready to be born again. God's waiting upon us, our repentance. Someone said, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, He's waiting on you. Praise God. Amen. He's ready. He's ready to heal us. He's ready to forgive us. He's ready for everything. He's waiting on our actions. Amen. He's not going to beat anybody over the head with a ball bat to get them saved, is He? Far from it. Ephesians 3:20, and to him that is able, do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Most people stop there. It didn't stop there. It said, according to the power that worketh in us. We've got the power, but is it working? The prophecy in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. We've got the power. But Ephesians 3:20 again said, according to the power. How does he do? Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, or think or ask, whatever. According to the power that worketh in us. That's why it's important to stay renewed in the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important to have a close walk with God. That's why it's very important that in our lives to see Him move. Hallelujah. When we repent and get baptized, it's God's will, like I said, to fill us with the Holy Ghost, and He will. He promised it. We don't have to beg 50 years. He promised it to us. All right? But also in His plan, it's His plan to heal soul, mind, and body. And I am glad He did. Hallelujah. That He gave us that kind of a promise in the Scripture. I'm talking about the transforming power of our gospel. The transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippine Islands. Probably the second year I started the works there back in 1981. This is probably 82 or 83 that this happened. We had our convention on the island of, they call it Lapu-Lapu City. It was on the island of Cebu. And it's about 10 miles south of Cebu City, called Lapu-Lapu City. And we had an open tabernacle out there. We used to have the convention in, the conference, what do you want to call it? I hadn't found the difference in a convention, camp meeting, conference, and all that yet. They all look the same to me. I guess it's what you call them, right? But Brother Killakill, our interpreter, came to me and said, "Brother Lance, there's a man over here in this little hut that wants us to come and pray for him after service." I said, "Sure." So after service, we made our way over there, walked in that little hut. Here's this man dying of cancer. I mean, he's down to skin and bones. Cancer of the stomach area, which had spread no telling where. But somebody had told him about the healing power of Jesus Christ. If they had not, then he would never have known to ask for healing, for us to pray for him. But someone, I don't know who, I never asked Brother Kilke who, but somehow he may have come to church around there, you know, I don't know. But I do know one thing, he was a ranked sinner. In fact, he's a Catholic. They had idols everywhere. That little hut. And all they have for a light at night, because there's no electricity in most of those places, they have a little bottle with a liquid, white liquid, looks like white lightning in it. They have a dry bamboo shoot down in there where they light it, and it burns like a candle. And that's their light. Well, that little light was right by his little bed where he was laying. And you could tell that man was, I mean, he's in bad shape. But he asked us to come pray for him. We anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. And after we got through praying, he spoke through our interpreter back to us. He couldn't speak English. And he said, "That's it. I am healed." He said, "I felt something when they laid hands on me and began to pray like electricity come down my body and through my lungs." He said, "I am healed." And he was. God instantly healed him. But also he repented. We never say anything about any idols. You know. The next morning, he cleaned that little hut out. He took all those idols, made a bonfire out there and burned them. We took him, his wife, repented, and his children, like it was in the book of Acts, down to the Pacific Ocean that afternoon and baptized that whole family in the great name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's a God that I'm serving. That's a transforming power of the gospel. Amen. That's what God wants to do for people. If they'd let him, he will do it. I promise you that much. Not maybe. If he will do it. Hallelujah. So I'm glad for a transforming gospel, aren't you? The power of this transforming gospel. Amen. That'll heal your soul, mind, and body if we will allow it to. Let me just say a few more things. I'm going to close here tonight. But after we are transformed from darkness into His marvelous light, in our walk with God, there's times that powerful gospel works, whatever we have need of. It could be many things. But sometimes I stand in awe at the power of this gospel, of how you see it affect people and souls, and how you see it work miracles in lives. It's really amazing. No wonder the Bible said the Word of God is quick. It's alive. And believe me, it is. You know why it's alive. It's a book of blood from beginning to end. That brings it alive. What is amazing, you can read one scripture over and over and over and read it and, you know, yeah, and look at it. But one day you'll maybe read that same scripture and it explodes in your spirit. Whoa! I never seen it like this before. Hallelujah. It's alive. Praise God. These 66 books are alive. Amen. They were written by different authors. Different men or different walks of life. But they all had one overall author, the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Bible said the men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So it's the same anointing upon each of the writers that puts it all together to make one book, a powerful, transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And I am so glad that God has ordained it and planned it to be that way. Aren't you thankful you're not some old dead, dry mess? Amen. Some dead. I'm going to tell you what, Buddha can't heal nothing. He's dead and he died lost. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Allah, forget it. Confucius, the whole book. I'm glad I'm serving the living God. Hallelujah. If you could find where they buried all these men that people worshiped back through the years, and they could still be there, of course, they'd be disintegrated by now, but if you could find it, there'd be bones in that tomb. Yeah. You go over to Jerusalem and find the tomb where our Lord was buried for 3.5 days. Praise God, you wouldn't find nothing. Because he came out of there bringing you and I victory over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap right now. Lord, we thank you tonight, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Mighty God. All God is wanting us to do is believe it. Just believe what he said. And we'll have a chance in our lives, one place or another, one way or another, to prove it. That's right. I had never had a chance to prove drinking poison before, I remember. But in 1989, on the way to the Philippines, we took a week and went to Taiwan. A friend that I knew, Brother Votal, was helping a pastor, you call them foreign missionaries, but a pastor there had been there 10 years. And I didn't know that pastor, but I knew Brother Votal, and he invited me to come over there on the way to the Philippines. So we flew into Hong Kong and then went to Taiwan out of there. And he picked us up at night, and we drove quite a ways to get there. Of course, we'd flown, you know, for a couple of days or whatever. Everybody's wore out. We got to the house there in Taiwan, and a beautiful house for a foreign missionary, and they had an upstairs that was empty, and we slept upstairs. We carried air mattresses with us, and most of the time we slept on air mattresses, even the Philippines, because their beds are like this. It's like sleeping on a board. And because they don't hardly have mats, about all you do. If they have a mat, it's just a little thing they roll out, and it's like sleeping on a board. We're used to easier beds in America, and it's rough being over there sometimes. So anyway, we had a good place to stay up there. Well, it was late at night. They showed us the room and everything. We went up there, and Brother Harold Anderson went with me, and a preacher in his church from Lake City, Arkansas. And so back then I had one of these health food shakes. It was called Delta. Some of y'all may have had some of them back in the late 80s. Awesome product. Boy, you could feel the energy when you started drinking. Total health foods. Well, I made that shake, and boy, it blessed me over in the Philippines, I can tell you that, by drinking a couple of them every day. And I just had to mix them up in warm water, but I took a shaker with me. Well, the water out of that faucet was clear, and it tasted just like spring water to me. It had no bad taste or nothing. And so I, drunk some 8 ounces of water, a big glass up before I went to bed. Got up that morning, drank some more, and then took 8 ounces in that shaker and put that Delta shake in it, shook it up in that water, and drank that Delta shake before I went downstairs. First thing Sister Votal said when we walked downstairs, I forgot to tell you last night, don't drink the water, it's poison. Whoa. Deadly poison. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what I said, brother. But I thought momentarily, I thought, okay, God, Mark 16:17-18. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them or hurt them. I said, I'm believing that scripture. Never had a chance to prove it before. I didn't need to. I don't remember drinking any poison. But I said, okay, Lord. I mean, to myself, I'm believing the word of God. I'm not going to worry about it. We went on, never even got a pain, not no stomach pain, nothing. All day passed, all night, the next day. Sister Votaw came to me about the going on the third day, and she said, Brother Lance, God's worked a miracle for you. Well, I knew that. Because she said, the last person that was here, I forgot to tell him, and they drank a little bit of that water. They was in bed 3 days before they could even get up. Thank you, Jesus. That's a miracle. Same water. I drank a lot more than the other guy did. But the Lord makes the difference. That's the power of this gospel. He never put Mark 16, 17, and 18 there just to be funny. Or to have some kind of a humor story or whatever. He meant exactly what he said. It was written by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And if he said it, we got to, we're supposed to believe it. And I just put into action. I said, okay, God, I didn't deliberately drink that. They didn't tell me it was poison. I said, well, I got all the faith in the world. Guzzle, guzzle.
Right.
No. Got more brains than that. Praise God. One of the missionaries from America, he wasn't a missionary yet, was going to go to Haiti years ago. And he visited there, so he was going to go come back and go full time. And went with some of the American brethren. And the first thing they told him, like any foreign country, don't touch the water. It is deadly poison to you. Now, most of them are immune to it, so they can drink it. But not an American. You go over there, buddy, it's bad business. You know what he did? Bless God, I'm going to be a missionary to Haiti. I'm going to learn to drink their water. I'm going to learn how to drink their water. Guzzle, guzzle, guzzle. 3 o'clock in the morning, and brothers heard him over in his room. Oh! Come on, folks. There's a difference in faith and foolishness. Hello? They tell me, if she'd have told me it's poison, do you think I'm going to touch it?
No.
Not on your life. I'd have went thirsty like I went and bought some bottled water. Hallelujah. And it's that way in just about every foreign reason in Israel. Same way we had to carry bottled water around with us. Jordan, anywhere in the world, dirt poor, have not nations. All of them. Water's bad. Praise God. But there is a difference in believing God and tempting God. I don't have to bring rattlesnakes in the house of God to prove my faith. I have to play with copperheads to prove I've got all the faith in the world. Praise God, and I'm going to try to close. But the transforming power of this gospel is awesome. You know, it's a shame that people misinterpret Mark 16, 17, and 18 when it said they shall take up serpents, because it said, lay hands on the sick shall recover, you know, speak with new languages and everything like that, new tongues, whatever. But take up serpents? I taught on that through the years, studied out years ago, and literally what it means from the Greek is to lift up and put away from them serpents. In the time of crisis, if a snake's fixing to bite you or does bite you, whatever, then God's going to step in and the miracles are going to take place. Amen. Wasn't talking about bringing them in and playing with them. I told one of them, okay, let's just take that for what you're saying. They're supposed to bring snakes into the church, handle them, proving your faith. I said, no problem. Y'all can have the rattlesnakes, the cobras, the copperheads. I'll take the little green grass snakes. We used to play with them as a child anyway. They ain't going to hurt you. So I'll bring them in and play with them. Y'all can have the others. It didn't say poison, Sister Meyer. It just said serpents. Beat them at their own game, folks. Praise God. No, there's a difference in tempting God and believing God. Hallelujah. Snake gets after you, or even if one bites you, we can believe God and take that venom just poof. It's happened before. Different times. That's what God's talking about. Lift up and put away from them serpents that be possible. Not get them and play with them, right? The power of the gospel is deliverance. Little native boy in Africa, and I'm going to close. Transforming power of the gospel. You know, there's not only for salvation, that's number one, having the Holy Ghost, okay? But there are advantages to having the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, Colossians 1:27 said, this is a mystery which is among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, Christ in us, then how's he going to speak to us in our time of trouble? Well, he can speak to anybody. But that would be for salvation if they're lost, mainly. Okay? So those large snakes in Africa, what they do, they lay on a limb in those large trees. And they'll wait for an animal or whatever to come under there, and they'll watch it. When it gets at a certain spot, they flip off of that limb, wrap around it, squeeze it, and eat it. They kill it by squeezing it. Well, this day, a little native, black native boy was walking under this tree. Because that big snake was watching him. When he got right under him, he went up, curled around him, and began squeezing. And you know what? This little boy had the Holy Ghost. He's an apostolic boy, church boy. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, "Bite him." Who'd ever think of that, huh? Because that snake's wrapped around him. He just went, "Ugh!" Said that snake quivered, but he never let loose. He just kept squeezing. The Holy Ghost said, "Bite him again." He found him another spot. Sunk his teeth in him. But he still didn't let loose. He still kept the grip the snake did. But the third time the Holy Ghost said, "Bite him again," he found him another spot and he bit into that snake. This time, that snake uncoiled and took off. He probably, when that snake brain was thinking, "Who's eating who today? I'm out of here. Praise God." Well, I'll tell you what, there's transforming power in this gospel. Let's all stand tonight. I got to close. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this gospel, aren't you folks? Praise God. We need to be excited. Stay excited. Praise God. That we have a God. Amen. That's all power. Hallelujah. And with God, Luke 1:37 said, "Nothing shall be impossible." Hallelujah. We've seen him so many times make the impossible possible, what we thought was impossible. For with him, nothing shall be impossible. Praise God. Amen. Tonight is your night. Sister Meyer comes back to the pulpit. And this is your night to receive the Holy Ghost. If you need healing, you can leave here healed, I promise you. That is God's perfect will. Amen. We don't have to pray about that one. "Hey, God, is it your will to heal me? If it's your will..." No, it is his will all through the book. Amen. "Is it your will I get the Holy Ghost?" It is his perfect will that we all get the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I'm going to tell you what, let God move in your life here tonight. Amen. Love you all. God bless you. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your mighty power, Lord. Mighty.